In a time when immigrants are painted as illegal invaders and something to be feared, Adriana Martinez studies how music ties American and Mexican culture together. Martinez is an assistant professor of music at Eureka College. She spoke with GLT's Mary Cullen about how music can help address the cultural barriers built between the U.S. and its southern neighbor.
Why do we still see this heightened use of the Spanish influence in our music?
That's an excellent question, and especially after the Despacito summer we had a year ago. A lot of people were maybe wondering that, but actually the influence of Latin music generally on American music comes really since the 19th century. So it's a very long process that has been happening of cultural influence back and forth.
Not only pop music, but rap music. From you and your perspective and in the research that you've done, what do you think is the benefit of fusing those two music styles together?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is that the Latin influence is already so embedded in our music and we don't even know it. And so that those Afro-Caribbean rhythms particularly are, especially from Cuba and Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic, they, like I say, have been part of our music for a long time. And we associate them with fun things like dancing, right? But even all of our music has been influenced that way. Jazz has a very strong Latin influence. Rock music has been argued that a lot of the shuffling rhythms in rock come from Latin music. And it's really a two-way conversation, right? So a lot of our music has influenced Latin American music as well. So for us as a country of so much ethnic variety and diversity, music really becomes a reflection of that.
Right. And so maybe we could dig into that idea itself a little bit more and how music really reflects our own culture. So when we are taking in music from other roots, whether it's Latin or other areas, how exactly does that show what we're like as a culture?
The great thing about the Americas in general, right, is that we are a mixture of indigenous influences, right, African influences, and European influences. And to a certain extent, all of our music in the entire continent shows that. So I'll give you an example. I just listened recently to a band from Chicago, and they describe themselves as a Latin fusion band. Their name is Son Monarcas. And they have, they use a lot of Son Jarocho, which is in music from southern Mexico, which is also by itself is a hybrid music. It has a lot of African influence, indigenous influence, and Spanish influence. And then they're mixing it with jazz, which of course has a huge tradition in Chicago, and some other various influences thrown in there. And so it reflects not only their experiences as Mexican-Americans and immigrants and children of immigrants, but also it reflects the identity of a lot of people in this area, right? So we're not just one thing.
How do you think music can be used to bridge the U.S. and Mexico, for example, in this time of contention?
Yeah, and I think that if we were to listen to some of the narratives, right, that we hear either from politicians or from other people with agendas, right, we would think there is no way of bridging those differences. But what we see in culture, in art, in music, in literature, in film, is that actually those bridges of communication are always open. So an example that comes right to mind is there is a festival in San Diego, Tijuana, and it happens once a year in June. It's called the Fandango Fronterizo, and it's a group of musicians and just families from both sides of the border come to the fence, right, the border fence at Friendship Park in San Diego, and they play together on either side of the fence. And these are families that in many cases cannot see each other in any other way, right? Because some of them might be undocumented and they can't leave and go back to Mexico to see their family. But they can come to the fence and play music. So I just think that if we just listen to each other a little more, in every possible way. We would understand the conversation is very different than what some people might think.
And now, do you think these shows of community and culture through the arts, do you think that's enough to start that conversation?
Well, I wish that it had a greater influence, I guess, in our policymakers. And that's why I do a lot of research into this very question as to how policy, international relations on the high level has an impact on culture and vice versa, how culture can impact. Because if music teaches us anything, right, is that when we sit down and listen, really listen to each other, that's where the conversation can start, at least. Whether that conversation will lead to any policy change, that is up to those people on the high levels.
We got into this question a little bit earlier, and the idea that pop music can be used in public discourse about immigration or any of these issues that we're having with, for example, Mexico right now. What do you say to that?
When I look at music from the U.S., popular music that talks about Mexicans and Mexican people, what I look at is what is that conversation like, right? What are the artists saying and thinking and feeling? Because in many ways, they're going to express what many other people might be thinking and feeling. A lot of the music that regards immigration is very sympathetic, right? They talk about the plight, right, of the immigrant and how they might be struggling to come and fulfill their American dream here. And that is a story that resonates, I think, with a lot of people.
When people are listening to pop music, for example, that uses Latin influence in it, do you think as they're listening to it, they're appreciating the fact that there is this Latin influence? Or do you think it's just more music in their ears?
I think some people probably just listen and think that it's fun. And I think some of those messages, though, do seep in eventually, right? And again, I will talk about Despacito for a second because it is such a song that's full of life and full of fun that it's hard not to be moved by it. And I think that's part of the reason that it became such a hit. Of course, there's several versions of that. One of the versions has Justin Bieber in it, and that exposed a whole other group of people who maybe had never heard of Luis Fonsi or any of these other folks to Latin music. These collaborations happen all the time, and often we're not aware of them, but I think there's something very powerful about saying we can work together in some of these areas. It's not all gloom and doom. And again, I wish that there was more of that going on and less of the kind of contentious division that we hear about.
With Despacito, for example, we would hear people singing along and not even knowing the words, mm-hmm. what they translate to in English, but still able to sing the lyrics. And what does that say?
Oh, I find that fascinating when people are able to do that. And I think it's just that music makes us want to participate. Right, it's a community thing. We want to be able to sing. We want to go to a concert and sing along with the artists. Right, we want to talk to people and say, "Hey, I like this kind of music. What do you like?" And we instantly feel a bond of community with the people who share our likes and dislikes. So I think the creation of community is a very powerful aspect of music and music making. And that's one of the reasons that it's very useful to look at those processes and figure out how our culture infuses them and how they in turn can maybe help us create a better world.
That's Adriana Martinez, assistant professor of music at Eureka College, speaking with GLT's Mary Cullen. Martinez spoke at ISU as part of the Latino Heritage Month celebration.